المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ما بعد. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, the Lord of the universe, our nourisher, our sustainer. And we begin by sending peace and salutations upon his beloved messenger, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. I hope and pray, my brothers and sisters, that you're all well and safe by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has still given us the ability, or at least some of us, to gather, alhamdulillah. We still have, of course, restrictions in place and limitations, but alhamdulillah, compared to other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us and still given us the ability to gather for Friday prayers and to gather for daily prayers at least 3 times a day, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to gather us in goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us back quickly, very soon, to the time once again when we can all gather, brothers, sisters, elders, children, youth, everyone, families together in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in goodness. Amin ya rabbal alameen. Today, as you probably know, is the busiest shopping day of the year. Has anyone gone shopping for Black Friday? Have you bought anything online? Perhaps you have. And one of the things that I've been noticing is that each year, this shopping day called Black Friday gets bigger and bigger. You know, when I was younger, the focus used to be on Boxing Day, which was the day after Christmas. And as children, we used to think that it was a time when people would go boxing. You know, but of course, it wasn't called boxing because of boxing. It was boxing because of, or it's called boxing because the unsold items after the holiday sales would be packed. So they would try to get rid of them, or so they said, by putting them on sale. But now it seems that Black Friday, which originated in the United States, seems to have caught on here in Canada as well. And each year it gets bigger and bigger. And unfortunately, today, many people will become victims of consumerism and materialism. Now, of course, this isn't something that is limited to Black Friday, but it is a gross example of that. And perhaps it will be a little bit different this year because of the pandemic and because of the restrictions. But, you know, we are accustomed to seeing people lining up. And again, it's a bit greater on the other side of the border, a lot more intense. People, you know, taking things out of other people's carts and rushing to find good deals. So not to that level here in Canada yet. Anyway, alhamdulillah. But it is a gross example of consumerism and materialism on both sides of the border. Now, today, I'd like to share some tips on how we can turn that around. How we can turn that around, not just on Black Friday, but just generally when it comes to shopping and making purchases, and make shopping meaningful and positive, inshallah. Now, you know, the reality is that during the pandemic, some of the people that are having the most difficult of times are small business owners, right? So, of course, the people who are ill, who have lost loved ones, no other suffering or problem can match what they have gone through, the grief that they have experienced and the suffering that they have gone through. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower his mercy and forgiveness upon those who have returned to him, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure and to strengthen those who are ill with COVID-19 or with any other illness. But apart from the loss of life and the impact on people's health, financially, it's the small business owners that are going through some of the toughest times. And they have put in a lot of effort and money and sweat into their businesses. And, you know, because of the restrictions and because of the situation, they are seeing this. Many of them are seeing it slip away before their eyes. The value of their, you know, of their business going down, many of them trying to sell them. And of course, no one really wants to, or I shouldn't say no one, but, you know, there's not that many buyers out there who want to get into it right now. A lot of businesses in the downtown areas where people are no longer going to work because they're working from home. And, you know, a lot of, you know, small mom and pop, as they say, businesses, shops, community members, family members who are running different businesses, they're having quite a bit of a difficult time. Now, a lot of us are now used to shopping from major retailers and websites. And even when you look at sales, of course, you know, you look at for maybe the sale flyers, you go to particular websites, electronic retailers, and you order online. And many of the larger retailers, the larger stores are seeing a boom, right? They're seeing their business boom because people are at home, they want to shop, they go online. They're not going out as much. Or if they go out, they go to the big malls and to the big, big retailers. So if we try to redirect some of our spending towards the small businesses, especially locally, it could help a household and a family get through another day. Like, that's how much of a difference it would make if we were just to redirect some of our spending and spend on or purchase through, you know, small businesses and local businesses. That could really make a difference in their livelihoods, especially at this time. So we're talking about restaurants, we're talking about local shops, maybe home-based sellers. So these are the people, you know, who are probably suffering the most right now. Now, you see, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking for money, right? A man from the Ansar, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, reported that a man from the Ansar came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he begged from him. He asked for money. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, instead of giving him money, although of course the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the most compassion for anyone in need and always encouraged giving charity, instead of just giving to him, he said, "Have you nothing in your house?" And the man said, "Yes, I have a piece of a cloth, a part of which we wear and a part of which we spread on the ground, and I have a wooden bowl from which we drink water." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bring them to me." So he only had the sheet and this bowl, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bring the sheet and the bowl to me." So the man brought these articles to him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took them in his hands, and he said, "Who will buy these?" Can I imagine? It's just a bowl and a sheet. But he said, "Who will buy these?" So someone said, "I will buy them for 1 coin." So the Prophet said, "Twice or thrice, who will offer more than 1 coin?" So essentially, he's conducting an auction of the sheet and of this bowl. So he says, "Who will offer more?" And someone said, "I will buy them for 2 coins. So he sold them for 2 coins. And the Prophet said, "Buy food with one of them and give it to your family, and buy an axe and bring it to me." Okay, so he's basically coaching him, guiding him through this process. So the man brought it to the Prophet ﷺ, who fixed a handle on it with his own hands, and he said, "Go gather firewood and sell it, and do not let me see you for a fortnight." The man went away, he gathered firewood, and he sold it. And when he had earned 10 coins now, he came back, and he came and bought a garment and food. And the Prophet ﷺ said that this is better for you than for begging. This is better for you than for begging to come as a blemish on your face on the day of resurrection. Begging is only appropriate for 3 people, one in grinding poverty, one in serious debt, and one who must pay a difficult compensation. So meaning that, you know, asking others for assistance and asking for help is really for the most, pressing and most difficult of circumstances. And everything should be done before getting to that point to try to sustain oneself. Now, what's interesting here is that the Prophet ﷺ sold the sheet and the bull. Now, it made me wonder, and I don't know the answer to this, but I wonder that the Sahabi who bought them for 2 coins, right, or the one who offered 1 coin, or the one who bought it for 2 coins, how much did they actually need that bowl and that sheet, right? I wonder if they actually need it or not. And my hunch is that they actually didn't need it. However, because the Prophet ﷺ was selling it, and it was a means of supporting this companion, they ended up buying it for those 2 coins. Allah knows best. But what we can understand is that to purchase products or services from a person can be a dignified way of supporting them when they're in need. Right? Buying products and services, and you hear anecdotal stories, you know, of elders, of people in various places who will, you know, who will purchase something. They'll see someone who is clearly appears to be in need, who is selling something, you know, on the street side, and they will actually purposely go and buy from them. Not because they really need that item, but because they want to support that person. And it's a dignified way. So instead of giving charity to them, they actually buy from them. So the person who's in need also feels empowered. And they've actually, you know, the person who's buying has done a good deed by supporting someone who actually needs that support. So empowering people to support themselves is a good deed. And it is something that the Prophet ﷺ has shown. So giving charity, yes, is great and is excellent and has its own virtues. But there's also the vision of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is to lift people up and empower them and train them and support them so that they are able to support themselves and so that they're not dependent upon support and charity. Now, of course, sometimes there will be people in such situations who are not able to support themselves because of, you know, a number of circumstances. And then there is no problem in giving charity to them and supporting them. But our effort should always be to try to uplift people in a dignified manner as much as possible. So, you know, it is a good idea to shop with good intentions, even if you have to pay a little bit more sometimes. You know, sometimes you may have to pay a little bit more, but you know that you're supporting a person in need or you're supporting someone who's going through a difficult time. And if you have the good intentions, then inshallah, that will be something that will be rewarding for you as well. Now, for some, shopping is a means of feeling good. And this is a troublesome concept, sometimes referred to as, you know, retail therapy. That, oh, I'm feeling down, or, you know, I'm feeling like I'm missing something, so I just need to go shop. So, you know, you know, buying as a form of therapy. Now, this is a problematic concept for multiple reasons. But let's say you enjoy shopping, or you enjoy finding deals. I know, you know, sometimes people do. There's nothing really wrong with that. But, you know, let's say you already have too much stuff, or you don't need anything yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you and you're good, but you still feel like, you know, you want to go shop, then maybe do it for others. You know, buy gifts for others. You know, buy things that you can give to others. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tahadu tahabu, right? That if you give each other gifts and you will love each other, right? Tahadu tahabu. So give gifts to each other, and that will become a means of loving one another. So, you know, if you really want to buy and you don't really need anything, then buy for others if you're able to afford it. Or buy, you know, if you're looking for deals, look for deals, not for yourself, but look for charities, right? So if you find something, you know, on sale, if you find a really good deal, you're able to afford it, and it's something that could benefit the food bank, it could something that could benefit the masjid, it could benefit the homeless shelter. You know, buy those things because, you know, charity, in-kind donations of items, you know, they don't always have to be used items that we don't want anymore. But a lot of times what happens is we think of charities to give items when we have too much junk and we don't know what to do with it. So they say, okay, can I drop it off at the masjid? I mean, I'm not saying this is always the case, but a lot of times this is when we think of giving items in charity. Money may be a different thing, but when it comes to items, you know, a lot of times it's when we don't need something. And subhanAllah, we're actually taught that when we give charity, we are actually encouraged to give the best in charity, right? Not to give the worst in charity, but to give the best in charity. Now, of course, if you don't want something to go to waste and you want to give it in charity, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But, you know, charity should not be relegated to only the things that we don't want or only our junk, right? So if you find a good deal, you find something that could benefit someone, you find something on sale, buy it if you can afford it, and give it to the food bank, give it to the masjid if it's needed, you know, give it to the homeless shelter, socks, gloves, coats, you know, all types of things that are needed, especially in homeless shelters. You know, you go to the store and so maybe there's, I don't know, bags of potatoes on clearance for 25 cents. Sometimes it happens, you know, okay, ask the food bank. You know, you find non-perishable items and you find a really good deal, you pick them up and drop them off at the food bank, right? So be looking out for others. You find a good deal, you can afford it, you don't need anything yourself, do it to support others, either to give, you know, to give to others or to give in charity for others as well. Now, it is also a fact that many products sold today, right, are imported from various parts of the world. And many of them are made by people overseas who are abused or who are treated very, very poorly, right, referred to as sweatshops sometimes. So they're barely making any money and they're almost living like modern day slaves. In terms of how they're treated and how much work they're made to do and how little they are paid. Or perhaps, you know, they are made by taking unlawful advantage of others in other ways. Now, on the one hand, it is true that, you know, such places give people an opportunity to earn some money, right? In places where there's great poverty, at least they have a job. At least they're able to feed their families, perhaps. But on the other hand, support for such retailers and such manufacturers and brands feeds this practice of cheap, unfair labor, right? The more people buy, then the more it feeds the practice, right? Because people, you know, if people don't raise awareness about it and they keep buying and they keep supporting it, then those manufacturers and those retailers, they keep doing it unless a tragedy occurs. Like some years ago, you know, there was a building collapse or, you know, a fire goes through one of these manufacturing unsafe buildings where so many people are being forced or are having to make brands brands that are sold in Canada, right? Clothing that you would buy for $20, $30, $40, $50, you know, being paid like 10 cents, 50 cents to make it, right? So, and so when a tragedy occurs, that's when people start paying attention. But the reality is the stuff is going on all the time. So the point is, my brothers and sisters, try to be more conscious of where your products are made. Everything that you're buying, that you're wearing, that you're using, where is it made? Who was it made by? Who are they supporting, right? So sometimes it's not about, you know, sweatshops or cheap labor, but perhaps the products are made in illegal settlements, illegal Israeli settlements, or perhaps they've been grown on land that has been stolen from Palestinian farmers, right, as an example. So, you know, try to make better choices when possible. I realize that it may not always be possible, but try to be. The point is, try to be more conscious about your choices when you shop, and try to shop, you know, in an ethical manner, or support at least businesses that are ethical, or at the very least that are not acting unethically as much as possible. Now, we know that shopping often leads to waste, and you know, we end up getting carried away buying things that we don't need. I mean, the entire marketing industry is designed to get people to buy stuff. Right now, I know sometimes we have an interest in people buying stuff because maybe we work for a company who makes products that we want people to buy, and that's what makes it successful. Or maybe we own shares and stocks in retailers or manufacturers, and we want them to be successful. But on the other hand, the reality is that, you know, this entire system that is based on consumerism, materialism, and on inciting people's desires and their greed, you know, is not a healthy system. It is not an ethical system. It's not a system which is in line with the teachings of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what ends up happening is that marketing is done in a way to entice people, to build their desires, to make them want to have things, to make them sound good, and then people get carried away and they end up buying things that they don't want, that they don't need. They may not even want. You know, that increases waste in the world, pollution. Like, there's so many impacts, subhanAllah, right? So it's really based upon waste. Now, not every purchase is wasteful, of course. You can be buying things that you need, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what it often leads to is buying things that people don't necessarily need, but the wants and the desires are tough. SubhanAllah, you know, even the way the stores are laid out, even that is done with the science behind it, right? Like when you go to a supermarket and you see, you know, the fruits and vegetables first, and you get the nice smell of the bakery and like all of that, you know, and the way the aisles are laid out, like that's all done based on research so that people end up buying more, right? Like everything is designed like that. The flyers, like everything that you see, all the ads that you see, even the type of music that they'll play in commercials, like all of that has a science behind it, right? So the idea always is to put people into the mindset of wanting to buy more. Even foods will be formulated. Food scientists will be employed to design foods that they make you want to eat more, and they don't fill you up. They don't fill you up, and they're designed to make you want to eat more, right? Why? Because it increases sales, right? So just know that all of this stuff is happening behind the scenes. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran describes the ibadur rahman, and He says, the servants of the most merciful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those when they spend, neither do israf, nor are they tight-fisted, and they hold a medium in between. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. And they hold a medium in between. Now, a number of places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about israf, and that He doesn't like the musrifun, the people who do israf. Now, so the question is, so what is israf? Now, a lot has been written by scholars, especially the great commentators of the Quran, and the simplest translation is excessiveness or extravagance, right? Going beyond the limits of what is reasonable. Now, it is not just applicable to spending or consumption, but today, you know, that's what our focus is. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is essentially telling us that from the ibadur rahman are those who do not spend excessively, are not extravagant in their spending, yet at the same time, they aren't miserly either. Right? They aren't stingy either. So they take the middle road. Now, Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in his commentary, this verse, he says that they are not extravagant, spending more than they need to, nor are they miserly towards their families, not spending enough on their needs. But they follow the best and fairest way, and the best of matters are those which are moderate neither one extreme nor the other. Now, in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَا تَجَعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ وَلَا تَبَسُطَهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ فَتَقَعُدَ مَلُومًا مَحْسُورًا. And let not your hand be tied to your neck. Let not your hand be tied to your neck. What does it mean? Like a miser. You know that, you know, you're afraid to move your hand away and to open your wallet and to spend something. Nor stretch it forth to its utmost reach like a spendthrift. So don't be so tight-fisted that your hand doesn't want to move away from your body. Don't be such a spendthrift that you stretch your hand so much to its utmost reach that you become blameworthy and in severe poverty. Right? So essentially it's sending a message of moderation, that don't be stingy, but don't go beyond your means either, so that your spending, you know, ends up driving you to bankruptcy and poverty. So waste is what we want to avoid, but also miserliness as well. So my personal philosophy is, and you know, it's perhaps debatable, but my philosophy is that when there are sales, when there are deals, and personally, I have experience of getting great deals at this time, alhamdulillah, it can be a good time to get things that you need at the best or the good price. You know, if there's things that you know you're going to need, right? Your kids need coats, boots, whatever, right? Like, you need to sign up for internet service, you need a cell phone plan, whatever it is, right? This may be a good time to look for that deal, because you may end up getting the best price. And that way you protect yourself from spending more than you need to. You protect yourself from overspending unnecessarily while taking care of yourself and your family. And then you can, of course, use those savings to fulfill other needs, or better yet, to give more in charity. Like, why are you going to be careless and spend more unnecessarily, where you could be saving that and you could be putting it to good use, either for yourself, for your family, or in charity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once had a man come to him. Imam Ahmad relates from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu an, that ata rajulun min bani tamimin rasulallahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A man from Banu Tamim came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, Ya Rasulallah, inni dhu malin kathir. He said, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, I have a lot of wealth. I'm a person of wealth. Wa dhu ahlin wa waladin wa hadira. And I have a lot of wealth. I have family and children and the refinements of city life. You know, I basically is an urbanite. Fa akhbirni kayfa anfiq. So he says, tell me how I should spend and what I should do. Wa kayfa asna. What should I do? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تُخْرِجُ الزَّكَاةَ مِنْ مَالِكَ إِنْ كَانْ. Pay the zakat of your wealth if there is any that is due. فَإِنَّهَا طُهْرَةٌ تُطَهِّرُكَ وَتَصِلُ أَقْرِبَاءَكَ. For it is purification that will make you pure, maintain your kinds of kinship. وَتَعْرِفُ حَقَّ السَّائِلِ وَالْجَارِ وَالْمِسْكِينَ. And pay attention to the rights of the beggars, the neighbors, and the poor. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, أَقْلِلْ لِي. Make it less for me. Ya Rasulullah, make it less for me. Like, this is too much. Make it less for me. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the verses وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. And give to the kinsman his due, and to the miskeen, to the poor, and to the wayfarer, but spend not wastefully in the manner of a spendthrift. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. And squander not your wealth in the manner of a spendthrift, meaning in an irresponsible, careless way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily the spendthrifts are the brothers of the evil ones, of the shayateen, and the shaitan to his Lord himself is ungrateful. So thus, wasting of wealth on that which there is no benefit is in fact showing ungratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is also mentioned in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have said, that kulu washrabu walbasu watasaddaqu fi ghayri israfin wala makhila. That eat and drink and dress and give sadaqah without extravagance and without arrogance. So even like in everything, in any spending, even in giving sadaqah, without extravagance, without arrogance. So to eat and dress well, my brothers and sisters, nothing wrong with it. If a person can afford it, fulfill your needs with better quality. Don't use it to show off, you know, or to feel better than others. Don't get attached to it. Don't make it the purpose of your life. But you know, it is okay to spend on the things which are halal from that which you have earned in a halal way. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us true contentment of the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all givers, make us attracted and attached with that which is permanent. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts and guide us to that which is best. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Let us make dua. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله على نيته وسره. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولجميع المسلمين والمسلمات. Oh Allah, please forgive us for our minor and major sins, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please purify our hearts of all types of unlawful and undesirable loves and desires, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please purify our hearts and fill them with with your love and the love of your messenger, the love of your books, of your words, the love of our fellow believers and our fellow creation, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please fill our hearts with the light of Iman, with the strength of Taqwa, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please envelop all of us in your unseen protection, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please protect us from all types of harms and hardships, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Hardships, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please grant a speedy recovery and a cure and relief to all of our brothers and sisters who are ill, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, those who are in hospital right now. Oh Allah, those who are in pain right now. Oh Allah, those who are in grief right now. Oh Allah, those who have illnesses that they don't even know about. Oh Allah, please purify all of them of their illnesses and hardships, Ya Rabbal Alameen, especially our elder sister in pain and weakness, our brother and sister who are living with long-term pain and injuries, our elder pioneers, especially Dr. Habibur Rahman and Brother Mumtaz, who are suffering from cancer and other illnesses. Oh Allah, please grant them a speedy and complete recovery, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, our sister who is in pain, our families who are ill with COVID-19, our relatives, our brothers and sisters who are suffering with that illness and many others. Oh Allah, please cure all of them, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, you are the cure and the healer. Oh Allah, please grant them all speedy and complete recovery. Allahumma Rabban Nas, adhib al-ba's, ishfihim wa anta shafi, la shifa illa shifa'uk, shifa'an la yughadiru saqma. Oh Allah, please grant relief to all of our brothers and sisters in faith and in humanity who are experiencing distress, anxiety, and grief, and any type of suffering, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please remove their trials and their hardships, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab al-nar. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah wal-mu'afat al-da'imata fi dini wa dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma azbiq alayna libas al-sihati wal-afiyah waj'alha awnan lana ala ta'atika wa mardatika, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzn wa na'udhu bika min al-jubni wal-bukhl ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك واغننا بفضلك عمن سواك. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين ووحد صفوفهم وأصلح قادتهم واجمع كلمتهم على الحق يا رب العالمين. اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين في كل مكان. اللهم حرر فلسطين والمسجد الأقصى يا رب العالمين. اللهم احفظ وانصر إخواننا وأخواتنا في كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر المستضعفين في كل مكان وحقق لهم النصر والفتح المبين يا رب العالمين. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Today inshallah we will have a special message from President of the Canada Muslim Association, Brother Mahmoud Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome to Juma. I wanted to give you an update on our project. As you see, because of COVID, you cannot have any conversation these days without talking about COVID. So because of COVID and because of so many delays from the contractors, our project got delayed. And finally, alhamdulillah, it's taken now. You can see in the back of the masjid, there is all these trucks that are working on finishing the parking lot. So inshallah, within the next week or two, they will be able to complete the parking lot to the extent that you can park. Inshallah, in the spring, they will put the tarmac and you will have the lines and everything. So inshallah, hopefully in the next week, the Juma, the Juma after, instead of entering from the front, you will be entering from the back, you will park in the car in the back and you will enter, inshallah. There's work also started in the masjid itself. There's a lot of work going on right now. The washrooms, the wudu areas are nearly coming to completion, inshallah. So hopefully this will also be completed soon. Once it is completed, inshallah, in the normal circumstances, this place would hold about 250 people. which is alhamdulillah a great blessing. It is delayed, but as much as it is operational. So please come to the masjid for Fajr, Maghrib, and Isha. Inshallah, what we are preparing now is for our second phase, which is the masjid, proper masjid being built in the front of this building. And that's where we need funding, inshallah. So in the past, at this time, we would be further ahead than you. Right now, we're down by about 40%, about 100, which is a significant amount, and which really hurts our progress. I know it's difficult for many people, but I know many people are working and they have jobs and they have the time and they can donate. So please, the masjid is open, and inshallah, once the masjid is built, we will be able to host many other events and activities. You know, even in this time, we're holding events, online events, and we hope, you know, as an organization, we're trying to build an organization that is serving the people, not just the masjid, who come and pray and leave. So, for example, last night there was an online seminar, like on the phone, Zoom seminar, on how to start a halal business. Next week there is a program online on how to have careers for your kids. How do you think about a career for your kids? 2 weeks ago, we talked about another topic, you know. So inshallah, what we are looking at is building a community and fulfilling the needs of the community, where the gaps are, whether it's related to religion, whether it's related to the success in this life, the success in that. So inshallah, with your support, so we have gotten this far, alhamdulillah, with your support. And you know, I'm really impressed by the support that the community has given. And we do not stand here, you know, every day and say, you know, give us money. We just take two time periods and we stand here patiently. We don't spend a lot of time. You know, in this time, because of the time crunch, we're not even going to ask you to raise hands. Are you going to we're not going to ask you to raise hands, alhamdulillah. So we ask you to please contribute to the masjid and take this message to your friends. Talk to your friends and take, because this project needs to be completed, inshallah, as soon as possible, so that this masjid can, you know, can have a proper project, we can have proper programs for our kids. They're growing fast, you know, You know, just yesterday I was looking at my daughter's picture and looking at it now. It's grown tremendously. So the kids are growing fast and they need programs and services. We have people who will deliver the services, but we need some good places, inshallah. Which is our time. Please share the message with your friends and donate generously. Any amount to donate, you get 35% back, or 35% back from the government. If you donate this time, by February, when you file the tax, you will get the money back. 35% back, inshallah. Jazakallah for your support. Assalamu alaikum.